I'm sorry, my friends, for the mistake. I was told to be here at 8:30. And I've been coming here. I'm told I should have been here at 8. I'm usually a punctual person, because I'm a Telza, and we don't suffer unpunctuality. To such an extent, I'll tell you a little story. The old Telzarov, the father of Rabbi Nehemiah Bloch and of my Rebbe, Zechlinam Livroche, he used to say his shiur in his Besden room at his own home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, once a week. So, a wonderful student, he later became a brother-in-law of mine. He is no more. Hitler took care of that. He came in once 5 to 4. So the Rav came out and said to him, 4 o'clock is 4. Not a minute before, not a minute after. That's the punctuality that we had in Telz. Every home where the Rav Zechinah Livroche used to pass by in his daily walk used to set their clocks in accordance with the moment when he passed their home. So that's why I say I'm very sorry for the unpunctuality. But it wasn't my fault. I was told to be here at 8:30. This time we're here, we're meeting here in a very, very important period in Jewish life. Aseres Yemei Teshuva. The 10 days of penitence opened by Rosh Hashanah and to be closed by Yom HaKippurim. But there's more to this period than those 10 days. You can't enter these 10 days without preparation. So we have a whole month of Elul in which to prepare for these 10 days. Elul is a very interesting month. Everyone knows that the letters of the word Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vov, Lamed, signify a verse in Shir HaShirim, a declaration of love between Hashem Yisborach and Klal Yisroel. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. I am unto my beloved one, and my beloved one is to me. I give myself to Hashem Yisborach, and he in turn gives himself to me. What greater expression of love, devotion, attachment could there be than these words signified in the letters of the month Elul? What greater preparation could there be for Aseres Yemei Teshuva? A month in which a Jew prepares himself. I would like to express my love to my Maker, to my Creator. And not merely my Creator, but a Creator of an entire world. And in thinking about these things, I reminded myself of something that I once heard from one of the greats in pre-war Europe, where I was privileged to study as a young boy. His name was Reb Mordechai Pogromansky. He was recognized by the greats of the past generation as one of the greatest among the greats. Although, in my day when I knew him, he wasn't yet 30 years old. He once told me that if we wish to understand the beauty of this world in which we find ourselves, we should take an example from a work of art by Rembrandt, that great medieval artist, a painter among painters. If you put his work, he told me, into a cellar, no one will see anything in it. It's a painting, but nothing more. You have to bring it up into the light, but that's not sufficient. You have to know the angle in which this light has to be shed upon the painting of Rembrandt. A light that will bring forth and bring out every line that Rembrandt painted into that painting. For those who are connoisseurs of art, they will understand that. Those not won't understand it. I don't understand art, but I was overwhelmed with this example that he gave me. And he proceeded on. If people become impressed with a work of art by this great painter, by Rembrandt, how impressed should we become when we stand before the greatest work of art in the world as a whole? What is that work of art? Creation itself. The world in which we live, it's a work of art. Who was the artist? None other than the Almighty Himself. Boirei kol ha'olamos, creator of all the worlds, not merely of this world that we are able to see with our human eye, but of all the worlds. That which is below the sea level and that which is above the heavens. There are worlds upon worlds above the heavens. All is beautiful. All is overwhelming. But how do we become impressed with it? How are we to see this world? How are we to observe this world? We must have a light to shed upon it, thereby to see all the lines and all the strokes of this master painter of Hashem Yisborach. Where do we find that light? How do we accustom ourselves to it once we shall find it? The light is Torah. He told me that many, many years ago. Study Torah, and you will become overwhelmed with the light that you shall there see. And that light will enable you to take note of every line, of every dot that's been put into this work of art called creation. Brio. I had forgotten this, but in thinking about what we're going to say tonight, it came to mind. And I remembered not merely his words. I saw before myself this great interpreter of the light of Torah. One so great that the Kovnerov Zichrona Livroche, one of the greats of this past generation prior to the war, once said of him, in generations before, the Motel Pagramansky would have been recognized as one of the Gdolei Ador. Imagine. A 28-year-old man in my day, when I remember him, would have been in the age of a Rabbi Kiveyer, of a Vilner Gaon, recognized as one of the greats of the age. He was an unusual personality. And this personality began to study Torah at the age of 16, believe it or not. Not before. And until the age of 16, he had taken into himself all of world culture through secular study. How he was saved and brought back into the world of Torah is not our business tonight. But once he got back, this person saw all through the light of Torah. I remember when he would come in to the house of my father-in-law and mother-in-law, Zichlenam Livroche, and he would begin speaking with my mother-in-law, Zichle Livroche, Hashem Yinkin Domo. With her he would speak about world culture. She had been a student at the University of Kharkov. And I used to hear from my room what he's saying. The mutl came in, I've got to hear what he has to say. Every word he said was a medrash chazal, but he delivered it in such manner that my mother-in-law, Leah Asholem, thought that it was a philosophic lecture, as she had heard in University of Kharkov. It was all chazal. When he used to take upon his lap my little brother-in-law, Hashem Yinkin Domei, he was 5 years old, and he would tell him a children's story. I would listen. A chazal! The depth of chazal! He painted it for him in the words of a children's story. One has to be, for that alone, a ge'oin ha'goini, in order to picture to a young child of five the depth of a chazal through a children's story. This was the gentleman of whom I am speaking. And when I reminded myself of this example that he had given me, I began to think. David HaMelech says he yearns to have a world of sight opened before him. And we say that in a capital that we start in Elul. The David Hashem Oiri, the Lord is my life, says David HaMelech. And in that capital, in that chapter of Tehillim, there's an interesting verse. L'cho omar libi, of you doth my heart say, bakshu fonoi, seek out my countenance. I always found it difficult to understand what is David HaMelech saying. My heart, he's talking about his human heart. My heart says of you, Father in heaven, bakshu fonoi, seek out my countenance. This is very contradictory. Is he saying that the Lord should seek his countenance? Or is he trying to say that I, the human, should seek the countenance of the Almighty? But the wording doesn't fit. And this is quite a few years ago. It suddenly struck me. What is the human heart? The heart of a Ben Yisroel. What is it? Is it the flesh that is operated on in surgery by the cardiologist? Is that the heart of which David HaMelech spoke? By no means. The heart of a Ben Yisroel is the Almighty that rests within him. That's the Jewish heart. And we don't always feel that feeling. But there are moments, even for us, David HaMelech felt it continually. The heart was the voice of Hashem. We feel it at some moments in life. And when it struck me, I came to my late uncle, the Chaimot Chikatz, Shreina Livroche, the Rosh Yeshivin Fells, together with Rav Bloch, Zikatzadik Livroche. And I told him this thought. He said, you've hit upon the truth. It's a medrash. The medrash says, Yishir Ashirin. Ani Yisheino, V'libi Eir, says Shlomi HaMelech. I am asleep. I do not know, I do not grasp what goes on. But V'libi Eir, my heart is awake. And on that posuk, Chazal say, Libi Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told it to me then. Du zugetroffen nach Chazal. When a Jew finds himself in the proper atmosphere to begin to feel what his heart is saying to him, he begins to hear Bakshufonoi. Why do you walk around in the dark? Why do you walk among all the foolishness of this world which captivates your mind? You're walking in darkness and you want to have it. Bakshufonoi, seek out my countenance. Once you will see that countenance, you will begin to see a world of light. Such light that a human cannot suffer it. It's beyond him. And David HaMelech answered, Ponecho Hashem Avakesh. I seek your countenance. I cannot live without it. David HaMelech went through difficulties upon difficulties throughout his life. He had no one restful day. All of life to him was a continual battle. But Ponecho Hashem Avakesh. What keeps me is the fact that I'm always engaged in seeking your countenance. I want to see you. I don't want anything to remove that countenance from before mine eyes. That was David HaMelech. And maybe when we will begin to realize this, we'll then realize what Tehillim means. And we won't wonder when Chazal teaches that when David HaMelech finished his 5 books of Tehillim, he said and prayed to Hashem Yisborach, Ribbono Shel Olam, I would like my 5 books of Tehillim to be comparable to your 5 books of Torah, Hamisha Chumshe Torah. and the Chaim Alozhener writes in that great work of his, Nefesh HaChaim, we never have found what was the Ribbono Shel Olam's answer to that. So it must be something that is worthy of an answer. To such heights did David HaMelech reach in his words that he expressed in Tehillim, to be able to find himself free to ask of Hashem, give to my 5 books of Tehillim the rank of Chamishei Chumshei Torah. When we begin to hear this posik, Ho'oma libi bakshu fonoi, David HaMelech says, I hear continually the words of my heart speaking to me and urging me, seek out my countenance. We begin to understand who this father of Jewish sovereignty was, a father of Malchus Yisroel. That father of Malchus, who will appear again as Mashiach ben David, we hope, in the not too far future. Times have reached to the lowest. How long can we wait? How long will we wait to be able to see that great light that will bring sustenance to Klal Yisroel and uplift us over all the tzores, suffering and travail that we have gone through, not merely in the last Churban, but down through the ages for over 2,000 years. And this is what we seek. It is through these words that we want to approach the Yomim HaNoroim. We've gone through a Rosh Hashanah. And in that Rosh Hashanah, we spoke about Malchias, Zichronos, Shofros. We quoted Psukim from Torah, from Nevi'im, in reference to these three areas. Malchus, the kingship of the Almighty, King of all kings, Melech Malchi Amlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, King over all of creation. With him there is a creation. Without him, all is lost. And again, what is that essential ingredient that maintains the existence of creation by the will of Hashem Yisborach? Torah. Chaim Alozhener teaches us, if there would be chas v'sholem a moment in which Torah would completely be lost and not studied in that moment, not one individual would be in that moment studying Torah, the world would disappear. The ingredient that maintains it is Torah. This is what Torah signifies. In the study of Torah, We maintain the existence of a world. NASA, in all its trials to reach the moon and above, they do not and will not determine the essence of creation. At best, we will have scientists telling us we've gone above the moon. And as the Russians said at the time, we have not found any angels there. If we think that through human science we shall be able to conquer creation, we are fools. There's no other word for it. We cannot conquer a creator, so we cannot conquer his creation. Just as we cannot understand the Almighty himself, we cannot understand his handiwork. Ours is but the duty to attempt to study his Torah, wherein we find that light which sheds a perspective upon all of creation. Malchus, Zichronus, we speak there endless psukim again from Torah and from Neviim about the limitless memory of Hashem Yisborach. But we should not make the mistake of thinking of memory in terms of human memory. We have a memory store. We put it into that store, and then we forget. But memory helps us to remind ourselves of what we put there. That's what memory means for us. Memory of Hashem Yisborach is an ever-existing memory. There's not a moment when it isn't there. And I am reminded again of something that I once heard in the name of that great Gaon, the Meir Simcha HaKohen, the author of one of the classics in Torah study, the Or Sameach on Maimonides. He was a Rov, the Misnagdish Rov, in Dvinsk. There was also a Chassidish Rov in Dvinsk. We used to call him the Rogachover, because he came from a little town in Russia, Rogachov. Rabbi Yosef wrote, he once said about the Rogachover, the ganze Welt sagt, is a bucky. Everyone says he knows everything in Torah. He has it in his memory. You're making a terrible mistake. The Rogachover is not a bucky. I have keys, because there's much that I forget, and then I remind myself. I'm a bookie. He has not yet forgotten anything that he put into his brain. It's all before him completely, every moment. And not only the Gemara that he studied, the philosophical works of Maimonides, Meir HaNevuchim, is before him in its entirety when he thinks of a passage in Maimonides' work on Aloche, Mishneh Torah. He's not a bookie. He has it before him every moment. The Zichronos of Hashem Yisborach are to be understood in that vein. It does not mean he put these things into his memory store and then he forgets about it. And then in later times, for some reason or other, when the occasion arises, he reminds himself. He never forgets. It's always before him. That's what the Zichronos of Hashem Yisborach come to teach us. And because of that, when we realize that we are acting in the presence of Hashem, He is the Melech. He is the sovereign. He rules. Every act of ours in this moment, in past generations from the first day of creation, every act stands before His sight. He overlooks nothing. He forgets nothing. Zeicher kol hanishkachos. He is the one that remembers all that is forgotten by us. That's His memory. It isn't a memory store to have to remind yourself. He's continually engaged in this memory. Zeicher kol hanishkachos. This is so important to be aware of during these days of penitence. We would be different individuals if every moment in our life we would be conscious of the fact that He sees what we are doing. He is aware of every touch of our finger. He is aware of every thought. Nothing is forgotten. Nothing is overlooked. We would be different individuals. We don't feel that. We judge Him in human terms, Rachmana Litzlan. We don't feel that Hashem sees us in every fashion, in every moment, in every turn that we take. He observes us. He observes us carefully. And that's why we are taught by Chazal that when we shall come upstairs, there will be a final day. We shall come upstairs and the books will be opened before Him. And everything we did will be read to us. He needn't have that book. But for us, it's necessary. Therein He records all that He sees in every second, in every moment. And we shall have to answer for that. If we would live that way, with that consciousness, and again, I must tell you, don't for a moment think that I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself, as I always say. I realize that I am the one that has to remember these things. But it doesn't hurt to speak to myself out loud so that others will also hear. It won't hurt. Let us be conscious of what these Aseres Yimei Teshuva mean. And these are the times of Shofaros. When the Shofar blows, the Kol HaShofar. Shofar symbolizes awakening. Hokitzu Yesheni Mi Shnaschem v'nirdomi mitar demaschem, as the Rambam teaches us. We do not understand the reasons for mitzvahs. It's beyond us. It's in the reasoning of Hashem Yisborach, which we cannot fathom. But yet, every mitzvah has in it a taste for us humans also. And the Rambam gives us this taste. You want to know what Shefa tastes like? It means awaken from your slumber. How long will you sleep? All that you do throughout the year is a result of slumber. We're asleep, and we think we're awake. We're awake for business affairs. We're awake for so many other things. But we're asleep in our consciousness of the presence of an Almighty at every moment of life. Hokeitzu Yishein. Arise, Mishnaschem. Those of you who are deep in slumber, awake from that slumber. Get up to the Slichus and hear what the Slichus are saying to us. Hear what we are being reminded of. And Hashem Yisborach is an Ovrachmon. He realizes the inadequacy of man, but he wants us to be aware of our inadequacy. Blozech nit mit gaive. Who can compare to me? You are lower than the worm of the earth. Realize who you are. That's all that the Rebbeinu Shleilim wants of us. He's an Ov Rachmon. He's a loving father filled with kindness. And every turn that we take unto him is immediately grabbed up by him. And he evinces thereupon his Rachmonis. This is what we are engaged in at this time of the year. But when we are engaged in it, we should feel that it isn't just designed for 10 days during the year. And then back to life as usual. And enjoy it in dancing on Sukkot. No. Keep the lesson with you. Let it keep you awake. At least till Hanukkah. Don't forget it the day after Yom Kippur. Be awake. Realize who we are. Bnei Kel Choy. Children of the living God. And every act that we perform throughout the year, if a mitzvah, the Amalochi Maile grab it up and take it to the Rebbeinu Shleilim and say to him, look what a wonderful son you have. Take a look at these mitzvahs that he's performing. And if Chas V'Sholem, we go astray, then we have other Malochim that grab up the Averis. And they come up also and say, he's not worthy of your Rachmanis. He's not worthy of your kindness. Observe what he has done. But he's an Ov Rachmon. And he says, yes, I observe it. But I see that my children are saying to me, in the words of Chazal, Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzoneicho. Our inner desire is always, always to perform your will, Father in heaven. Avol se'er shebi'iso me'akiv. The sourdough in the bread in the dough stops it from working on us. And the Rabbeinu Shleim says, the fact that a Jew stands and says, Ritzoni la'asis ritzonecho, I feel that my inner desire, my inner will, is always to do your will. I realize his smallness. I realize how incapacitated he is. And I overlook, because I'm happy with the fact that he recognizes his incapacity. But do we recognize it? Or do we feel that nothing wrong? We haven't gone remiss. We haven't gone astray. Everything is exactly what it should be. We're proud of this and proud of that. If that's our life, then Hashem Yisbolach is full of discomfort. Cannot be. I didn't create my Am HaNifchor, my chosen people from among all the nations, for such a purpose. I have enough who live that way. Um Yisraelim will perform that act. I didn't create a Klal Yisrael to perform this act. That's a comedy in the theater of creation. And for that I have Um Yisraelim. I don't need Klal Yisrael for the comedy. I need them for the true act. And Aseres Metzuv, El, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, remind us of this inherent responsibility that rests upon us and has kept us going down through the ages. Is there any nation upon earth which has suffered what Klal Yisrael has suffered and remains existing, proud of its existence? Only Klal Yisrael attests to the presence of Hashem Yisborach. No other people, no other nation. This is our greatness. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseres Metzuvim. The prime purpose is to make us aware of who we are, what we are. What do we add to this great creation of Hashem Yisborach? What is our job in this work? Malchius Zichrenes Shefres. Hakipuri. Lifnei Hashem Titoru. If a Jew has gone through an Elul, the Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, in a proper manner, and has felt what these days carry within themselves, so then he can begin to understand what Hashem is saying to him. On Yom Kippur, you shall purify yourselves before the Almighty. You shall divest yourself of all impurities. The fast of Yom Kippurim is not to suffer hunger. The fast of Yom Kippurim is to lift ourselves into a world where we don't even feel that there is such a thing as hunger. That's the difference between Yom Kippurim and Tisha B'Av. If we purify ourselves through penitence, then we become so overwhelmed
with the presence of the Almighty, then who can think, when we are in His presence, of food? Who can think not only of pizza and steak, of food in general, in the presence of the Almighty? Who can think of it then? That's the fast of Yom Kippurim. To cleanse ourselves of all earthly desires and feel that we stand above them. We're in the presence of Hashem Yisborach Himself. And yet, let us observe what a wonderful Torah He gave us. If Chas V'Sholom, a Jew is weakened by this fast which means I don't feel hunger, that if it weakens him to an extent that the doctor says there's a danger for life, it's pikuach nefesh, then it becomes a mitzvah. Eat food on Yom Kippur. Where will you find a God of such tachmonis? Where? Only through the light of Torah do we see Him in all His manifestations. And it is then that we are able to approach a sukkis, a zman simchoseinu, tanzen through Torah, dancing with all the emotions of joy that one can possibly imagine, because we've gone through our Rosh Hashanah, and the Yom Kippurim, when we felt no need for physical sustenance. We felt only one need: Ribbono Shel Olam, sustain us with Your presence, keep us within Your light, and in that way we shall proceed throughout life. Let us, my friends, give some thought to these things we have mentioned here. And I have said nothing new, nothing of my own. All this is in psukim that we say throughout the tefillahs. All this is in Medroshi Chazal. They who taught us how to live taught us these things also. I have only used this evening to remind myself of their teachings and for you to hear it and feel with me how great the simcha is if we can reach the stage where we can be mekayim the fast of Yom Kippurim, which is a source of simcha, of elation with Hashem Yisborach, feeling the tar, the process of purification that we're going through. What greater joy could there be for a Jew upon earth? May we be zeiche thereby to the simcha of a Chagas Sukkos, and may we be zeiche thereby to be Hazan Goyel, the greatest of all simchas, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheiro b'yomeinu, the very, very close future, achak elei b'chol yoyim shiyovi. And I want to leave you with a little story again. I was recently in Eretz Yisrael and had the pleasure of meeting a few times with that Gaon and Tzaddik, Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ponevish. He's reached an age that Alavaya from Zalman gesucht. And I told him I feel that Mashiach will soon be here. So he said to me, it was before Tisha B'Av, he said to me, well, Achakla b'chol yovel, b'chol yom she'yovel. We're all waiting for him every day. But you're using a very interesting language. It needs a mutnam loshen. By chibor, you're sure about it. So you must have a proof for it. What's your proof? So I said to him, can the Rosh Yeshiva possibly imagine the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu without a greeting, a Kabbalah's Purim committee to go out to meet him? That can't be. Who will head that committee? Whom do we have left in our poor and lowly generation worthy of standing at the head of a committee to meet Mashiach Tzidkenu? Only the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Shach. And the Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva, you do not have too long to wait. So I'm sure as daylight that he's soon going to be here. So whether I was true in my assumption or not, but this was certainly true, that I made him very happy. And Baruch Hashem, if for that alone, it was worthwhile for me to have been in Eretz Yisrael, to make this great man happy. He is not only Rabban Shel Yisroel, the teacher of Klal Yisroel in our day. So many greats have passed away. We've been left with him. But he's also Avihen Shel Yisroel. He's the father of Klal Yisroel. There isn't an interest in Jewish life, whether in Eretz Yisroel or throughout the Golas, South Africa, Australia, United States, Canada, South America. He's up to every pintale and keeps asking about this place, that place, what's going on in the new yeshiva that was made in Australia. What's going on in the Kailan in Australia? What's going on in Canada? What's going on here? What's going on there? I'm not talking about Eretz Yisroel. There he's involved in it throughout the world. He's Avihen Shel Yisroel. He's the father of Klal Yisroel. And I pray, and I hope that you will pray with me, that Hashem Yisborach keep him with us to stand at the head of the Kabbalah's Purim Committee for Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimheiro V'Yomeinu, Amen.